the Lord's table, or some people call it Holy Communion. Let's read a few scriptures, because many of us already very familiar with this truth. However, I like to present a certain portion that we should also understand, so that we will have a comprehensive understanding. The first Bible verse should be in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We will read verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. Those who accept his message, that's Peter's message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's number one. Number two, to fellowship. Number three, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Okay. These two verses show us the earliest church since the Pentecost. Okay. Lately, on Sunday, I was sharing on the testimony of Jesus in the apostles through the book of Acts. And now you see, when Peter, after the Pentecost message, he continued to preach this testimony of Jesus to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. And then you will see in 41, after his message, the Holy Spirit moved mightily among the Jewish people. First time at 3,000, and second time at 5,000. Okay? And what do they do after they those new believers came to the Lord? So in the church of Jerusalem, they practice four things. In verse 42, you will see, number one, apostles' teaching. Okay, apparently all these apostles gave a lot of teachings to all these new believers. Number two, they have fellowship. In other words, they not only listen to the apostles' teaching, now they have fellowship with one another. So because their life is changed, their knowledge about the Lord every day experience something new, so they have something to share with one another. So that's the second content of their spiritual life together. Number three, that's the breaking of bread, right? Number four, prayer. So that's the four pillars of church life. You know, when you talk about a church life from the first church in the Bible concerning the church in Jerusalem, you will see these are the practices they do at that time. So, however, you can also see other examples concerning what do they do in the early churches. And we will talk about it later. So this is the first Bible verse I ask you to read. And then let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, I want to read from verse 26 through 30. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you, or for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount Olive. So this is the Last Supper recorded in the first Gospel of Matthew. You will see Lord establish this breaking of bread. What night? That night. That night was the Passover. Yeah. And apparently, they first have the Passover celebration. And then after this meal, Lord started something new. He took the bread, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "This is my body," which is unthinkable. We use the bread to symbolize his body, broken for you. And then after the meal finish, he will take the cup and say, "This is my blood, new covenant, to, on one hand, remission of your sin, on the other hand, is symbolize my blood covenant. It's a new covenant." In other words, the old covenant finished. Now, a brand new covenant began. And use the old covenant, use the animal's blood. The new covenant, use the Son of God, Jesus' blood. So it's totally different. Totally different. One is earthly, the other one is heavenly. And one is temporary, and the new covenant is forever. So it's not only historical, also change the whole concept of covenant with God. This covenant is not changeable. It is unchangeable. This is forever. So that's what you see in the Matthew Gospel. And another one. I want you to read John, Gospel John, chapter 6. Chapter 6 from verse 35. We will read to 59. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 35 through 59. Then Jesus declare, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. Although those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all these he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. At this, the Jews were begun to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They say, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say this? I came down from heaven. Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. And your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jew began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept it? And then many depart. You know, they all sneak out one after the other.
And verse 66 to the end. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer follow him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? We have the word, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God.
This chapter is the most amazing message presented by Jesus. And in his presentation, he introduced himself with a new name. I am the bread of life. That's the name. First time he revealed to the Jewish people. And then he explained, what does he mean? And he said, your forefathers ate the manna and died. We all know that. That's how many years ago, before Jesus? Moses' time. So 1500 years ago, when they were in the wilderness, God feed them with manna. And then they ate 40 years, right? Every day they have fresh manna from heaven, except the Sabbath. But eventually, although they lived this bread from heaven, they still died. Right? That's the fact. But now Jesus said, I am the bread of life, came down heaven. In other words, he is the true manna. Right? Nobody knows what is manna. And manna actually means, what is this? Okay? That's the meaning of manna. Manna, that means, what is this? But they never get the answer. Even they ate manna for 40 years. Until now, 1500 years later, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, came down heaven. In other words, he is manna. Right? But Jesus this time said, if you eat me, you will live forever. You shall not die. And then that's caused problem. What's the problem? All the audience, among all the Jewish people, they question each other. How can this man say he is the bread from heaven, number one? Number two, how can he give his flesh for us to eat? This is incredible. So that's the confusion. Because Jesus in this message, he said, not only he is the bread from heaven, but he also said, my flesh is edible and my blood is also drinkable. Right? So they got so confused. How can you say that? So Jesus basically threw a puzzle to them concerning three things. Number one, bread from heaven. Number two, his flesh, you can eat it. Number three, my blood, you can eat it, you can drink it. So they said, this is crazy. So even among all his disciples, they left because of this very puzzled, difficult sermon by Jesus. So originally, I think many followers, you know, at that time, Jesus already performed a lot of miracles. So many, many people, because Jesus' miracle, they follow him. And because he was so powerful, they really admire him until this time. Now Jesus talk about, I am the bread of life, and my flesh you can eat, my blood you can drink. They're totally confused. So if you and I were there, you know, what's our reaction? I think our reaction will be like the Jewish people. How can you say that? It doesn't make sense. You must be crazy. That's, you know, human reaction, very normal. So I think among the crowd, they must be in thousands. That's the peak of Jesus' popularity. Thousands follow Jesus. But after this critical message, the thousands suddenly dwindle, 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 dwindle. How many left? 12. And Jesus turned around and asked them, do you want to leave too? And Peter said, you have the word of life. If we don't follow you, whom shall we follow? So he made a very, very precious acknowledgement about who Jesus is. So these 12 still maintain the faith, follow Jesus. Others drift away. So many people say, oh, our church, we have so many people left. Don't worry. If God draw you, you will stay. If God didn't draw you, you will leave. It doesn't bother God at all. Why? Because the bread. The issue is the bread. Okay? People don't... you will see. So many people follow Jesus, right? But the bottom line, what's the real reason you follow Jesus? You see, this is the crux of the matter. So many people follow Jesus. That's in the beginning. Every person has different reasons. Some saw the miracle. Some experienced healing. Some maybe because Jesus represents something new. It's different from the tradition. They like something new. So everyone has different reason to follow. But all these reasons cannot justify one day when you encounter real issue. The real issue is, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, my flesh is edible. Jesus said, my blood is drinkable. That turned people off. Right? Because people will think your message is wrong. Correct? Your message is crazy. It doesn't make sense. So they left. But who will stay? Only one kind of people will stay. What's the kind of people? You have the word of the life. They acknowledge, although mentally they may not understand what Jesus really talking about, but they have a faith. What you said is the word of life. That's the confession. You have the word of life. If we don't follow you, we have nowhere to turn. So that's the bottom line. Every person follow Jesus should answer this question. Why do you believe Jesus? Why you come to the church? Why do you think you are following him? Are you truly following him? For what reason? So you will see, miracle doesn't hold. Curiosity doesn't hold. Good friend doesn't hold. The only thing holds the water or holds hold them together is one, the living word of God. That's the only thing can hold them together. And Jesus said, I am the word of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Although people may not agree, you know, but that's the truth. So, once you figure that out, you are not afraid. As long as you know you are following the truth, the Word of God. So, that's the whole matter. And the shake will be very big. You know, this big shake. Only 12 left behind. And the majority all disappear. Isn't that terrible? So, in the Old Testament time, when the forefathers, these ancestors, when they were in the desert following the ark, they have pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud guide them. But at the end, how many people from the first generation can enter into the promised land? Two. Okay. So it's a terrible, percentage. Yes, you can say that. It's a terrible percentage of success, right? The failure is incredible percentage. And it happened here in chapter 6. Thousands upon thousands follow Jesus in the beginning. But by the end, only 12. A handful. So this shows us, whether it's an Old Testament time or a New Testament time, it's always true. Majority doesn't count. Okay? Democracy doesn't count. What count? The Word of God count. Okay? All right? But if you ask the other side, those who are against Jesus, ask them, what do you think about this truth? They will say, truth is with us. He is heresy. See, everybody will believe my Bible is true. My word is true. He is wrong. That's everyone's concept, right? You will never say, oh, what I believe is wrong, but I still believe it. Then you'll have problem. Everyone will say, our belief, my belief, is right, and the other side is wrong. That's how we fight. You know, everybody fight for the truth. So, but you have to follow the spirit of the truth. Okay, now let's read another scripture. Second Corinthians chapter 3. This is a basic, very basic principle in following the Lord. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Let's read from 4 to 6, okay? Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves. You know, we don't claim anything for ourselves, right? But our competence comes from God. Let's read verse 6 together. He has made us competent as ministers of new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. For those who accuse Paul is a heresy, or say Paul betrayed the Jewish tradition, betrayed the law at that time. Paul will say, you know, because those who, you know, you think about Paul's experience. When he was not a Christian yet, he was a good Pharisee. He received the best education, right? And then he saw one person, gave him very deep impression. That's the first martyr in the church history. That was Stephen, when he was stoned to death, right? What role he played at that time? He was an observer. He watched the clothing of those who want to kill Stephen. And he approved it. We are doing good for God. Stephen is a wrong guy. He should be killed. So he was really approved what they did. So you will see, at that time, those who throw stone at Stephen, they think they serve whom? God. They stand for the truth, right? Stephen is wrong, so they stone him to death. And Saul, later on Paul, he agreed. That was the early stage of his religious life. And then until one day, he was hit by a big light, and Jesus revealed to him who Jesus is. So that story was in chapter 9 of Acts. Now, he became the servant of Jesus, right? Now he said, those who persecute me, now, they should think I used to be like them. Right? Just because I received the revelation, I suddenly realized Stephen was right. And his testimony was right. At that time, I disagree with him, but now I see the light. I understand what I used to think the truth, actually wrong. Isn't that interesting? Everyone stands on their own conviction. And the conviction without the checking from above. In other words, no revelation. When a people have no heavenly revelation, all they can get is this so-called Bible. And all they can get is the word without light. Got it? If you have only the word, and Paul here, he stated very clearly, word kills. Only the Spirit gives life. That's the difference. Everyone holds the Bible. Everyone claims we are true believers of the Bible. The Jewish people is like that. We, New Testament Christian, we like that too. But be careful. When you say something is true without the revelation from above, what you hold is the dead truth. Right? You have the literal word, but no light. No spirit. So when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he knows exactly what he's talking about. But everybody else, they have no light. So they think, Jesus, you are crazy. So they throw Jesus away. Later on, they all together kill Jesus. So you will see. This is the irony exists all the way from Old Testament time until Jesus' time, until our time. The truth, everybody think we stand on it. But you can still be wrong. Until your truth is under the revelation from God, under the light or under the Spirit of God. Because only the Spirit will reveal the truth to us. Without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, everyone is only holding to the wording, the dead word. The word kills. Only the Spirit gives life. That's the vital principle. If we don't catch this statement, we will do exactly those people did to Jesus, to Paul, to Simon, to this Stephen, to many, many those who see the light and they are being persecuted in the name of God. In the name of God. So that's the spiritual battle is. Then we come to, we always read during the Holy Communion. That's chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, right? (clears throat) 23 to 31. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." So, this paragraph we are very familiar with, because every Sunday morning we will do exactly like that. But this is the catch. When you do this on a regular basis, sometimes it becomes a habit, it becomes a tradition, right? Because every week you do that. But in this paragraph, there's a key word. Paul warned them. What's the key word? You should discern. Right? If you don't discern, then you are eating your own judgment. Right? So in other words, you take the bread, eat it. You take the cup, drink it. Routine. You think you know this is the body of Christ, this is the blood of Christ, you know, do this in remembrance of the Lord. And many people think this is just a ritual. Let me ask you, what's the difference between ritual and true life. What's the difference? What is a ritual? Just like the Jewish people, when they receive Moses' command from the mountain, you have five offerings, right? Sin offering, trespass offering, meal offering, a burnt offering, and a peace offering. That's very clearly stated. So they do it year after year, day after day, right? Faithfully. For 1500 years, from Moses to Jesus, 1500 years. How many generations of people practice that? Huh? Yeah, if every generation you assume it's 40 years or 50 years, you divide it, it's hundreds, right? How many? 数学好的. 1500 divided by, say, 50. 300. Is it? 30. Okay. 30 generations. Long time. So when do something for so many years, so many generations, it becomes a tradition. It becomes a ritual. You just do it without thinking. Right? What's the true meaning of those five sacrifices? The true meaning is Jesus. Jesus represents, those five sacrifices all represent the Lamb of God, Jesus. But do anyone knows that? Very few. They just do it without thinking. Understand? So until Jesus came, one person received. How this person know this is that? That's Baptist, John the Baptist. How he knows that? He received revelation from God. God told him, behold, the Lamb of God, he comes. Take care of the sins, right? So, you need, they all have the word, the Old Testament, but they have no light until Revelation comes and show them this is the meaning of these five sacrifices. That's him, the Lamb of God. Suddenly, now you have the Spirit. Now you have the true truth. Otherwise, it's tradition, it's a ritual. So, I use this as an example to, now we come to the Holy Communion or the breaking of bread. We can do this week after week or month, or some church just do it twice, half a year, okay? They do it only on certain festivals. But it all can be tradition, ritual, unless you have what? Revelation. So in this whole paragraph, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, is that on that night when Jesus established this, he used the bread represent his body, used the cup, the wine represent his blood. It's a symbol just like they use the Old Testament, the sheep or cow or whatever, the dove, to represent the sacrificial offering to solve the human problem between man and God. Unless you see the true light in Jesus, you never know that how this animal relate to us. You need a heavenly revelation. Same way when we break the bread, drink the cup, we all need the revelation from above. That will take discernment. That's why, you know, you have to, Before you eat and drink, you have to discern. This is flesh of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. You need a revelation. If you don't know that, you just do it habitually or ritually. It doesn't matter. Right? I think most of us experience fell in love. One kind of fell in love is true fell in love. One kind of fall in love is verbal. Because if you don't say I love you, the other side will not marry you. In order to have the marriage, you say I love you, so you know, they play a game. Okay? So they have different motive. To reach certain purpose, we play that so-called fell in love marriage game. That's why you see so many tragedy in marriage. I use this as only an analogy. Something very precious, but human being, the fallen nature, we turn something beautiful into ugliness. Same happened between us and God. This new covenant, this breaking of bread, is something brand new Jesus established with his disciples. That night, how many participants? 12. Right? Only 12 disciples he picked among thousands of people. Jesus picked these 12 and established this new covenant with them. Because these 12 will represent very exclusive circle. Agree? Those 12 represent very exclusive. Why? These 12 represent, in what sense, very exclusive? Number one, they start from the beginning and follow Jesus all the way until that night, right? Many, many already what? Left. They used to believe Jesus. They used to even follow Jesus. But when different reason, different problem occurred, they all left. This last dinner, only 12 left. Right? They stick to the end. And afterwards, after this dinner, persecution come. Jesus was apprehended. They all scared and they ran away. So the pressure is too difficult. However, even with Peter's betray, denied the Lord 3 times, eventually, these 12 still coming back, right? So in other words, they have failures, but they have the guts to stick to the end. While others already disappear and nobody knows where are they. In other words, Jesus established this new covenant is with a group of people willing to stay with him no matter what. To the end, that's what counts. To the end. So, I really think this breaking of bread, don't look that as a ritual. unless you really see the meaning of the price. This price is mutual. In terms of the bride, Jesus, he paid the price with his life, right? My body broken for you, my blood shed for you, I was hung on the cross. So he paid everything. How about the other side? Think of it. Well, who are the participants? The 12. Who are the 12? Those who pay the price, follow him. Right? They pay the price, follow him. So in other words, this new covenant, I believe, is equal weight. Although everything from Jesus is extremely sky high, very, very enormous. But in the relative sense, these 12 also paid the price, follow the Lord, right? Eventually, these 12 sacrificed their life for Jesus, right? So that's what my understanding concerning Holy Communion. When you sign a covenant, always take two sides, right? You cannot sign a covenant with one side. Always two sides. When you sign this with blood, I heard some messages say, oh, disciples pay nothing. Oh, do you agree? Disciples, in this contract, disciples pay nothing? Huh? Everything Jesus paid. In one sense, yes, everything Jesus paid, because he paid his life. But you think deeply. What does it mean to be disciples, follow Jesus, follower of Christ, Jesus? That means Jesus go any place, these people go with him. Right? That's the true disciple. Follow me means wherever I go, you go with me. You cannot just quit. Right? So there is equal footing in this sense that they pay a huge price. Although the price in a relative scale, Jesus is much bigger and we are much smaller because we are little potatoes. You know, for Peter, all he paid, just one boat, two broken fishnet. That's all his property. Follow of Jesus. But that's all he did. Everything he got. And then later on, his whole life. Right? In other words, all these guys paid all. Do you agree? So that means covenant. Two sides on equal footing. I hope you don't misunderstand me. This equal means everything. Yeah. Because today I think we take this new covenant, Holy Communion, ritually, habitually, without the light. We think, oh, if I, you know, have time, I will come. If I don't have time, I'm too tired, I don't come. Yeah, for certain occasion, if you are really sick like a dog, yeah, you don't come. But in early days when this was established, this simply means you express or you proclaim. What's the proclamation in this paragraph? You proclaim his death until he comes back. So that means you proclaim his death. Means his death has everything to do with me, with us. He paid it all. And he demands we pay the same. We may not die on the cross, but at least your life is for him. Right? That means follow the Lord. So the what I want to emphasize tonight is when we think about breaking of bread, Holy Communion, it's not our ritual. It's not our tradition. It is really something very, very intimate with Christ. It is the bride and bridegroom, right? That's, in essence, that's what it is. It's the bride and bridegroom in a very, very intimate relationship. I lay down my life for you, and you do the same. You do the same. So, God may not ask us to be martyrs, to be sacrificial lamb. No. But the minimum requirement Jesus asked his disciples is, if you want to be my disciples, take up your cross. What? Deny yourself. That's the bottom line. So-called equal footing. This equal footing is on deny ourselves, because Jesus came, he denied himself, right? And all these 12s, they deny themselves and follow him. So that's the equal footing, what I refer to. So in other words, if we don't do that, we do not. That means we did not really discern properly. Right? Our understanding or the presentation, when we talk about discern, everybody discern whether I have sinned. That's too primitive. When you come to the Lord's table, it's not concerning your sin. Sin is properly taken care of by the blood. Now is whether you have a deserved manner. If you have a wrong manner before him, it doesn't count. You have to discern. This is the ultimate Jesus paid for you. Do I match him? That's called discernment. Do I match him? He loves me with all his love. Just like a lover, when a man, a boy and a girl fell in love, do you think one side can be successful? Huh? Fell in love? No. You love him, she must respond in kind. Agree? That's called fell in love. Both sides respond wholeheartedly. Then you can lead to a successful marriage relationship. Agree? And this breaking of bread is exactly that. Jesus showed his love to his bride, and now he demands the bride will show him what? Same attitude. Right? I give my all for you, and you 12 give all to me. Equal. That's called covenant. The failure of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, why it fails? Because when God gave them this Old Testament, Old Covenant, God kept his promises. And the other side always break the law, break the promises. So that covenant failed. See? So you will see now the new covenant, he established that on the basis of the 12 disciples, that principle. In other words, they are the true follower of Christ. True follower. Half-hearted doesn't count. No heart, don't even mention it. Jesus demands whole heart devotion to Him. That's called worthy manner. Worthy manner. So, if you truly catch the Spirit, then this chapter will make sense. If you don't take, you don't catch the Spirit, you only know the Word. The Word kills. Or the 字句, 中文, I think, translated very good. 字句, 字句叫人死. You only stick to the wording, it always kills. Because you don't know why. You just follow the motion. Right? That's the problem of law. You don't have the strength. You don't have the love. You know, when you are in a true breaking of bread, remembers the Lord. Have you ever shed tear in the meeting? You are so touched by the Spirit. Is that often? Very rare. Most of the time, we just go through the motion. Right? Say words, everybody say. But very few times, your heart are touched and your tears cannot control, just flow. And you think, why sometimes I can be in that mode and why sometimes I cannot? And unfortunately, those precious moments are very rare. Very rare. I think the problem is not the Lord. The problem is ourselves. So, as we touch this subject, for tonight, I don't go through all the details from the bread, the body, the cup, the blood, that I think all of us know that. But the easy missing portion is the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. And that's what we need to pursue. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help us. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot. Even when we're willing, we just don't, you know, we're helpless. We need desperately the Holy Spirit to help us. Let us see that we need the light. When you see the light, you enter into the reality. You devote yourself totally to it. Then you will sense that vibration. Then you will sense the power. You will sense the reality. And every time you come to that reality, your whole being melted. Understand my word? I use melt. Yeah, when you are fell in love, you melt. Right? Think about it. You melted. When you touch by the love of Christ, we should all melt. That's called the Spirit. Okay. I will just say that much. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. When you shed the light through your word, we touch life. But if you don't share the light with us, we only touch these different Bible verses. We haven't had knowledge, but heart, our heart will not be touched by you. Forgive us because we are so slow and go our own way. But Lord, you love us so much. You want us to enter into the true reality. Lord, as these days, many come to the church, many even participate Bible study, prayer meeting, Holy Communion as a regular ritual, but very few times we truly touch by your tremendous love. Lord, we repent before you and we say, Lord, have mercy. Work deeply in our hearts. We pray in this church. Although we have so many people come to the Sunday meeting, even more people during our eating together, but Lord, how many of us truly know you in a deeper way, in the sense that no matter what, Lord, we want to follow you. People look at the circumstances. People look at people. Turn our eyes, look at you. Maybe one day we have only few people left, but if we have you, that's good enough. Lord, we just pray for ourselves and for the whole ECCC church that as we go through problem after problem, issues after issues, even as the new year's already begun, we already see more challenge among us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we are tired of all these outward debate, fighting. We want you to be glorified, and we want to enter into the truth, the spirit of the truth, because that will set us true free. We can serve you with all our heart, all our lives. May your name be glorified. May your church really appreciate your true love and love you in kind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any questions?